Lord, thank you for this wonderful time that we have to come together and worship you. Beautiful day and beautiful friends that are here. Be with those that couldn't be here today. Speak to us now through this message, the music, the friends and fellowship that we feel right here, Lord. We love you and thank you now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, good morning. Good to see all of you here today. Appreciate you being here to worship with us. Always good to be in God's house and worship, right, Jason?
My favorite day of the week.
Yeah? Good, good. I read this week some responses that children had in answering the question, what is love? What is love? Now, some of these are cute. Some of them are like, you're going to want to go, aww, and you can do that. Like this first one. Rebecca, age 8, in answering the question, what is love, said, when my grandmother got arthritis, she couldn't bend over and paint her nails anymore. So my granddad does it for her all the time, even when his hands got arthritis too. Aw, see, I told you. I told you. Billy, age 4, this is, when someone loves you, the way they say your name is different. You just know that your name is safe in their mouth. Isn't that sweet? Aw. Emily, age 8. Love is when you kiss all the time. Then when you get tired of kissing, you still want to be together and you talk more. My mommy and daddy are like that. They look gross when they kiss. Bobby, age 7, said, love is what's in the room with you at Christmas if you stop opening presents and listen. Oh, isn't that cute? Isn't that so sweet? Aren't we all moved? This is cute. Noel, age 7, love is when you tell a guy that you like his shirt, then he wears it every day. Chris, age 7, love is when mommy sees daddy smelly and sweaty and still says he is handsomer than Brad Pitt. And Karen, age 7, when you love somebody, your eyelashes go up and down and little stars come out of you. So we're in a series of messages called Building Great Relationships. This is the last message I'll be doing in this series. And today I want to talk to you about making relationships great through God's great love. We're using 1 Corinthians chapter 13 as the basis for this series. And 1 Corinthians 13:13 says this, so now these three things remain, faith, hope, and what? Love. And Paul says, the greatest of these, out of faith, hope, and love, the absolute greatest of these is love. The greatest is love. How can God's love for us bless and grow our relationships? Well, the Bible tells us very clearly that God is love. God doesn't just have love. God doesn't just show love. God is love. Love is the very nature, the very character, the very essence of God. The reason you're able to give and receive love is because God's love has filled you and has changed you and has made you in His image. So the first purpose of my life, if you have your outlines, take them out now and fill this in, because it's important. The first purpose of our lives is to be loved by God. That is the first primary purpose of life, to be loved by God. Ephesians 1:4 says, long ago, even before He made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in His eyes. Folks, God made you to love you. We really need to let that sink in. So many times we throw around the phrase, God is love, God is love. And we just almost unintentionally develop a hard heart toward it. It really doesn't impact us the way I think it really should. We need to just sit here for a little while and let that sink in, that God made you to love you. It's the first purpose of your life. The first purpose of your life is not to trust God. It's not to obey God. It's not to even love God. The first purpose of your life is to receive God's love for you. You can't do anything else the way God wants you to until you receive His love for you. He didn't create you in the first place to do something. He created you in the first place to receive something. If you understand this truth, it will revolutionize your life. I know we all know it here. God is love. God loves me. But how many times do we lose it here? We all need to get this. Our first duty in life is not to do something, not to learn something, not to listen, not to pray, not to give, not to sacrifice, not to serve. These are all good things. But none of them comes first. The first is that we accept and receive God's love for us. Our first purpose is to be loved by God, and then we get our first calling, and that is to enjoy a relationship with God. We are to be loved by God, and then we are to enjoy that love relationship with God. In Romans 1:7, Paul says this, "Dear friends in Rome, God loves you dearly, and He has called you to be His very own people." I know what I'm saying is fundamental, but the number one calling in your life isn't to a role, it's not to a responsibility, it's not to a bunch of rules, it's not to regulations, it's not to a ritual, it's not even to religion, it's to a relationship with God. What kind of relationship does God want to have with us? The relationship is to be His son or His daughter. God wants us in His family. It's an amazing truth. God doesn't want you to be His slave, His servant, His soldier, but His son and His daughter. He wants you to be His child. He wants you to receive that love that He has for you, first and foremost. 1 John 3:1 says this, "What an incredible quality of love the Father has shown to us, that we should be named and called and counted the children of God." And so we are. This is your number one calling in life, to be God's child, to receive His love. The very nature of God's love means He loves you in your good days. He loves you in your bad days. He loves you when you're up. He loves you when you're down. He loves it when you feel it. He loves you when you don't feel it. And I know this, God will never love you more than He does right now. You say, "Well, Kevin, so if I give a good offering in church and go out there and I start handing out these Easter invite cards and I'm doing all this, are you telling me God's not loving me more when I'm doing that?" That's exactly what I'm telling you. You don't earn God's love. It is there full and free now. Now, I think it's God good that we serve God in that way, but doesn't make God in the least love us any more than He already does. Look what Paul said in Ephesians 3, 17 through 19. "I pray that Christ will be more and more at home in your hearts as you trust in Him." Now, I want you to underline this next sentence, so just do it right now. He says, "May your roots go down deep into the soil of God's marvelous love. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep His love really is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is so great you will never fully understand it. I like that second sentence Paul put in there, because when I first started reading it, I was thinking ahead of myself, and it said, may your roots go down deep. And then I just filled in the blank for myself, down deep in Bible study, down deeper in Scripture, down deeper in this. And then Paul said, no. May your roots go down deep into the soil of God's marvelous love. Paul just wants us to understand, at least to begin to understand, how much we are loved by God. And He wants our roots to go deep down into it. Please don't misunderstand. Discipleship is absolutely necessary. But that comes later. After you live in and receive, understand, and accept the absolute unconditional love of God for you. Paul gave some qualifications about God's marvelous love. He asked the question, how wide is it? How wide is God's love? God's love is wide enough to be everywhere. There is no place on this planet that God's love isn't. There's no place in the universe that God's love ends. It's in places like the bar or the red light district. It's in the slum. It's in the ghetto. It's in the places where the poorest of the poor live. It's in the places where people who have tons of money live. It's everywhere. God's love is wide enough to be everywhere. How long is God's love? It's long enough to last forever. It makes it way different than human love. Human love wears out. But God's love never, 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 never wears out. He'll never stop loving you. He loves you with an everlasting love. It's long enough to last forever. How deep is God's love? It's deep enough to handle anything. His love is so deep, it can handle anything. No matter what pain you're going through, what problems you're going through, what hurt you're going through, God says, my love is even deeper than that. You say, well, Kevin, sometimes I just hit bottom and I don't think I can go any lower. I gotcha. I hear that. And I'm telling you, God's love is even there. It's deep enough to handle anything. How high is it? It's high enough to overlook my sins. Because Jesus, because of what Jesus has done for us on the cross, God is able to overlook our faults, our failures, our sins, our rebellion, and God offers forgiveness through the cross for each of us. So here's the question. How does staying aware of God's constant love, how does living in God's constant love impact building great relationships? How do they come together? Let me share with you four things that are going to help all of us understand this, I hope, a little bit better today. So when you stay aware of God's constant love for you, when you make that part and parcel of your life, when you realize you were put here, first of all, to receive God's love. That's your very first purpose. And whenever you feel yourself getting away from that purpose, you need to slow down, take a deep breath, and get back there. We need to live in, stay in, fellowship in that love of God that He has for us. Out of that, we do all kinds of things with God, for God. I get it. That's part of it. But we always need to come back there to settle that issue once again. God loves me. I'm not worthy, but he loves me. He told me. He showed me. So when you stay aware of God's constant love for you, number one, we feel accepted rather than ashamed. We feel accepted rather than ashamed. Most people go through their entire life avoiding God. And the reason is, many times, because they feel ashamed. They feel guilty. They feel under condemnation. They feel judged and criticized. And they think God is up there just waiting for another opportunity to get them for what they've done or what they haven't done. But look what Paul said in Romans 5:1. By faith, we have been made acceptable to God. And now, because of our Lord Jesus Christ, we live at peace with God. Listen, folks, look what he says. We've been made acceptable to God. We've been made acceptable completely, totally, unconditionally acceptable to God. Why? Because when Jesus died on the cross, he purchased our forgiveness. And when God sees us, he sees us through the blood which Jesus shed for us, and he sees us acceptable because of what Jesus did. Many times we go about our lives and people or we ourselves point things out to us that remind us of the fact that we're just total rotten sinners. And that's okay if the Holy Spirit's dealing with us and he needs to show us that again. I have no problem with that. Bring it. But I know he doesn't want us to think about only that all the time. Just remind yourself. Just get it in your mind and in your heart that God accepts us just like we are because of what Jesus did. That, my friends, is love. Look at Romans 8:33 and 34. If God says his chosen ones are acceptable to him, how can anyone bring charges against them? Or can anyone condemn them? Look at the answer. No, indeed. Why can't anyone condemn us? We're not ourselves perfect. No one condemns us because God himself says, I don't condemn you. I can't condemn you because of what Jesus did for you. Because of that, we are loved and we are forgiven. We rest in what God has done for us through his Son. When God looks at us, he sees us through what Jesus did on the cross, and he says, hey, that's good enough for me. I accept you just like you are through my Son. And when we experience this unconditional love of God daily, moment by moment, we begin to feel accepted, not ashamed. That releases us to love others fully and unhindered. Because we're not all upset about ourselves, we can share healthy emotions with others around us, which definitely impacts our relationships. Remember, just like with whomever you're in relationship, we have all kinds of relationships. Remember those times that you need to be reminded of God's love for you and his grace for you and his forgiveness, and you need that? Just remember, in all those relationships you share, other friends of yours, family members of yours, they need to hear that too. So share that with them. Secondly, when we receive God's love, we are bold in bringing our needs to God. We are bold in bringing our needs to God. When we're a child of God and we realize his love for us, we can get more bold in our prayers to him. I mean, we're in God's family. We're his children. So we know God loves us unconditionally. And when we pray to him, when we talk to him, we can talk to him about anything. because he cares. In Romans chapter 8, look what Paul says. All who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. So you should not be like cowering, fearful slaves. You should behave instead like God's very own children, adopted into his family, calling him Father, dear Father. And since we are his children, we will share his treasures. For everything God gives to his Son, Christ, is ours too. I can't even begin to wrap my head around that last sentence. I can't. Since we're God's children, which we are by his grace, not because of anything we've done, we share treasures. Because everything God gives to his Son, Jesus, is ours too. I'm grateful for that. It makes me want to dance. But I can't. Are you serious? Everything God gives to his Son is ours too? I have no explanation for that right now. But just reading that makes me feel loved. That's incredible. And it's interesting, you know that the word here used for father is the Arabic word Abba. Abba is the word in the Middle East for daddy. Abba, papa, daddy, mama. The Bible says when you come to God in prayer, when you come to talk to your heavenly Father, you come to him and you can say dada, papa, Abba, Father. You just come to him. You're his child. In the movie Lincoln, one of the things that impressed me was, I think Lincoln was just a great leader. But what impressed me the most that I saw in that movie was how Lincoln gave absolute, total, complete, unconditional access to his son, his youngest child, Tad. Lincoln's the most powerful person in the world, and yet his son could come in his office anytime he wanted. There were many times when Lincoln was in the Oval Office meeting with the Secretary of War, the Secretary of Defense, and all of a sudden, Tad would just come in, open the doors, and came away up to his dad where his desk was, and he just hopped in his daddy's lap. And Lincoln let him do it anytime he wanted. Pretty cool dad, isn't it? President of the United States. Come on in, right there. And the director of defense, they had to wait. Now it was Tad's time. Listen, you have that same access to your heavenly Father. You can come to him anytime, and he just says, come on in, have a seat. And you get to talk to him about anything you want, anytime you want. That is an incredible blessing. And because you can talk to your Father like that, matter of fact, look at the way the writer of Hebrews says it, Hebrews 4:16. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. You can go to your Father, your Heavenly Father, confidently to receive the mercy and grace that you need. In relationships, then, that tells me you have the greatest love of God, a listening ear that God has, and the ability that God has to intervene, to fix people, relationships, that tells me that we need to be talking to our Father about our relationships. We need to be holding those around us, our friends, our family, up in prayer. Something else happens when we realize how loved we are unconditionally by God. We gain the courage to take risks. When somebody believes in you, you're capable of accomplishing things that you would never be able to accomplish on your own just because someone believes in you. When someone believes in you unconditionally the way that God does, and when you experience that, it releases you. You have dreams that have been unfulfilled for years that now God may be leading you to fulfill. Some of you are struggling with dreams that didn't come to fruition. You feel like in some areas of your life you failed. Another reason why we all need God's love and God's grace. But what God is saying to us today, look, I don't care if you're 15, if you're 95. God is saying you may have messed up your life royally. You may have given it your best shot and it just wasn't good enough. You may be disappointed in your life. And God comes to you and says, but wait, we can start over. I can forgive you. We erase it. We can move forward from this point on. Some of you need a restart. Some of us need a restart. Many times when we fail and fumble, we're afraid to try again. Look what the Bible says in 1 John chapter 4. The writer John says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. Any of y'all ever get punished growing up? How many of y'all got good and punished? How many of you, after you got punished, had to go get the pre-punishment whipping? Anybody? Yeah. Yeah. Some of you aren't shaking your heads. You missed out on a whole lot. We can probably make arrangements to give you some idea what it was like. And John says there's no fear in love, because God's love drives it out, because fear has to do with punishment, something that we won't get. Now, this is, when you consider punishment, you're going to get what you deserve. You did something wrong, you deserve punishment, right? We all have done that. The Bible says everyone is a sinner. We've all made mistakes. We've all done it. But Jesus took our punishment. Are you hearing me? Jesus took our punishment. So, guess what? We don't get punished by God. Jesus was punished for us. You say, Kevin, seriously, I just get off like that? If you made a commitment to Jesus, you were serious about it, and he changed your life, yep, you get off. No punishment. Now, from the point we become a believer on, I believe God holds us accountable for what we do and don't do, but even the wrong things are forgiven. It's just when we get to heaven, we're going to say, God, I did the best I could do with what I had, or not so much, or whatever, and it's a done deal. We should lovingly be obedient to God, but Jesus took our punishment. You aren't going to be punished. Just imagine this. Anybody grew up with a brother or sister or more? I grew up with a brother, and Dave and I were very close when we were going through teenage years. We had a lot of fights, and I mean fights. But we grew in love. We just wonderful. And I remember growing up as children, we'd do something wrong. We knew what was coming. My dad was going to pull off his he was a post office guy. He delivered the mail, and he had a big, thick black belt that he wore in his post office pants. And when we got in trouble, we knew the drill. We go upstairs, and we bend over on the bed, and you could hear it. One hand. What have you been practicing that, Dad? and then it would come. Now, I always thought, if David really loved me, because I was the baby, I was 2 years younger than him, if he really loved me, why don't he just take my punishments for me? Right? Yeah. None of you got in there for your brothers and sisters. But in heaven, punishment paid for on the cross by Jesus, our slate is clean. Not by us, but by God's love. There's one more thing that happens when we understand and receive God's love. We are able to worship instead of worry. When we worship, we're expressing our love to God. Anytime you tell God you love Him, that's worship. You can worship in your small group. You can worship in a church building like we are here. You can worship God all kinds of ways. Sometimes when we aren't sensing God's love, it could be because we simply are worrying too much. Any worriers in here? Got a few? More worriers than people who got beat with the belt. Okay, nice. If you worry a lot, you need to find a way to let the worry go and start focusing again on God during that time of worry. Remember how much God loves you. You're either going to panic or pray the rest of your life. I prefer to pray. You're either going to look at your problems or you're going to look at God. I prefer to look at God. Look at Matthew 6, 31 through 34. So, Jesus said, don't worry about having enough food or drink or clothing. He will give you all you need from day to day if you live for Him and make the kingdom of God your primary concern. So don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today's trouble is enough for today. Don't worry. Instead, worship. Live in God's love and worship Him. God's love, when we experience it like this, when we live it like this, will definitely positively impact the relationships that we. God's love really does change everything. First, foremost, take some time just to realize and accept God's love of you and for you. We started the whole message off there. I would have camped out there if I could have. You're going to hear this and you're going to say, it sounds good, this is good, and then you're going to walk out the door. I know how it happens because I know how I am. And I get right back into the same patterns I was in. Don't do that today. I almost want to just spend the next 15 or 20 minutes just sitting here and just sitting here, their eyes closed or open, and just realizing God's love for me, God's love for you. I don't think we could ever think enough about that. God, give me one more insight. God, just help me to realize that you're there for me. I want you to get that. And I want you to allow what that does to you and for you to go through you to impact your relationships positively. Okay? So, let's pray together. God, we stand in your presence. in awe of your great love. And thank you that the primary purpose in life is for us to receive that love. Not to serve you first, not to do things first, but first just to live in and receive your love. God, do that for us this morning. Make our minds and our hearts very aware of your desire simply to love us. To receive that love, to live in that love, and to allow that love to positively impact all the relationships we have in our lives. Because your love can change us, it can change me, it can change family, it can change coworkers, it can change friends. Change us with your love, God, so we can impact others around us in a loving, positive, uplifting way. Now, God, bless this time of response that we have. I'm not sure what all of us need to do, but guide us through it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this message today. It is so important that we're not only reminded, but we think about it, just how much you love us. Every day we go out, I pray this week, that we can just take a little bit of time and focus on how much you love us, what you've done for us, what you're doing for us, and what you're going to do. Be with us all, Lord. We love you. We ask all this in your name. Amen. All right. We'll see you next week.